get down on that thing. Oh, fuck. There's got to be something.
She spawn on my dork till I bark.
I'm wondering. Yeah, see, because I'm wondering about something like that. I'm wondering if she's like. Okay, she pod on my cast till I spawn a dork.
Okay. I like that.
Something like that. There's got to be a rich.
Could be she spawn on my dork till I podcast.
That's pretty good. I like that very much.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. She drag on my age till She drag on my age till I dork spawn.
There you go. Let us know in the comments which one it is.
This is so minor. Whilst we were playing Andromeda, a few times you were like, because I was like, I don't like this game. And you were like, you felt that same way about Dragon Age 2. You like really didn't like Dragon Age 2 until close to the end. And I was like, every time I was like, I don't think I did. I think I liked Dragon Age 2 from the jump. I was just very critical of it. And I've listened back to all of our Dragon Age 2 content. First of all, we are the world's most charming people.
Holy shit. It's sickening.
It's so good.
It's sick.
Hey, gang, if you are
you're also lucky to listen to us.
You haven't fucking listened to Dylan and I talk Dragon Age 2. I'm going to say this. My mic quality goes up and down in those episodes because there are some episodes which my mic quality is completely dog shit.
You were switching mics around and stuff like that, I think.
I also am generally not good at mic quality things. Like, I have a really good setup, but
you do.
It's the way I speak makes recording difficult because I don't like being too far away from the mic because I'm like, oh my god, you can't. I also spend so much time on Discord playing video games and whatnot that Discord has a different pickup system to how we record. So sometimes people are like, I can't hear you on Discord. So then I turn up my mic and it ruins my mic quality. And
interesting.
I also have the mic like over my mouth because I like talking into it, like into the mic, which I know you're not supposed to do, which is a thing which I think it was the Expedition 33 episode that we did with Elliot, where Elliot was like, you need to move your mic further away from your face when you talk to us on this. Because Elliot and I exclusively talk in phone calls. And he doesn't really talk to me over microphone at all.
He was like,
you're getting a lot of plosives, like a lot of P's are like really blowing the mic occasionally. And that's because the mic is too high. You need it lower physically next to your mouth. And I was like, fascinating. I didn't know that was a thing. Mm. Anyway.
I actually didn't know
I
that.
I liked
that
Dragon Age 2 from literally day one. I was just very critical of it.
Yeah.
But I never didn't like it. I just think the combat is bad, which I will stand by. The combat is bad.
Yeah, we all agree on that. Yeah, I think.
But, oh boy. I mean, from day one is like, the characters in this are the best shit ever. And I stand by it.
I was just about to be
excited about Sebastian Vale again. You're fine. Please.
No. It's okay. It's just like, I think, you know, just to not to dwell too much on Andromeda, I think that Andromeda had a lot of, I think I kept drawing back to Dragon Age 2 because it had good writing in the individual characters and in their relationships and stuff like that. But it was in this world that was too big for you to care about that. Like, it was
most magical trick that Dragon Age 2 does is it locks you in Kirkwall.
It
it makes Kirkwall the best city, the best IMO, the best setting that Dragon Age has is exclusively the city of Kirkwall. Because again, you know those streets. I love getting locked in to one place and being like, learn it. Learn every ounce of this. I'm going to tell you a quest location, and without looking at the map, you're going to be able to find it.
You will know
go to this bar. I know how to get to that bar. That's fine.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That is good.
That's my bar. That's,
oh my God. Oh my God, the hangman.
I know where my best friend sits at that bar. I know. You know,
oh
like,
my
it's
God,
like,
what a fucking game. It, I know. It really, if I had a wish, it like a video game themed wish, I'd be like,
remaster
Dragon Age 2. Remaster, yeah. Dragon Age 2. With just,
yeah.
I don't need anything else. I like literally don't touch it.
Don't change give the writing. Me, don't change
give
the story.
Give me like Veil Guard graphics. I'm into that. I think it's a very beautiful game.
Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, God.
I'd take Veil Guard graphics. I'd probably take a little bit of the Veil Guard combat system. I don't mind the combat system.
I would too.
In Veil Guard.
Oh, absolutely.
And, like,
that's,
and then,
I mean,
and then yeah. EA, get your fucking hands off my game after that.
Yeah.
I don't want new voice actors. I don't want new story. I don't even, you could even say, do you want a whole new act? We can make this whole DLC. No, get your fucking hands off.
I don't
off
want it.
It.
I don't.
Hands
I
up.
Absolutely.
Test
don't
is
want
over.
It.
Give me new graphics. Give me a new combat system. And then
that's it.
DA2 Remastered will be literally the best game of the whole franchise.
Oh my God.
One
I'm actually,
of the
I'm
best
actually,
RPGs
the thing is,
ever.
I'm coming. It's like I'm
getting so flooded thing, right now.
The thing is, I'm coming right now.
Yeah. Whoa, sorry. My phone just did a flash flood warning.
Because I'm coming. Oh my God.
I'm coming right now. Oh my God.
Sorry about that. So sorry about that, listeners.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It's so crazy. I genuinely feel like they're sitting on gold mines. If they did that. Do I want the same for Origins? I could take the same for Origins.
Origins,
I like
genuinely,
the
like, I would just.
Thing.
I would settle for them making it work without. Needing third-party apps to run it.
Yeah.
But
Dylan, come on, man. Act 3, the Storm of Denerim modern graphic stuff.
Oh, I know. I know.
Oh,
I
my
would,
God. I mean, come I on. Watching
die.
That fucking, that one Grey Warden fight the Archdemon. Holy shit. The things
oh
that they could
God.
Do, I just feel like they could go so insane with it. Give me some quick time events in a cutscene where I'm just doing cool shit.
Do you know what we need?
What is it?
What is his name? Todd Howard? The Skyrim guy?
The Skyrim guy? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We need him. We need a little bit of his energy in the Dragon Age world. Just know the game itself was perfect. Todd Howard believes that about Skyrim. He's wrong, but
wrong.
He believes that about Skyrim. We need that energy pointed at Dragon Age.
Just,
no, it was perfect.
Just give it a new coat of paint,
re-releasing
gang.
and in better condition.
Give me Dragon Age 2 VR. Let me sit in Kirkwall. Let me get mugged in VR in Kirkwall. I'll fucking take
it. Let me run Dragon Age on the Alexa. Let me play Dragon Age on my GE
card. God, you
my
love
GE
you love the tidbit that you can play Skyrim on an Alexa.
I do.
I straight up think you've brought that up like 3 times in the past couple weeks.
I do. I love it. And I the thing is that it's literally the only reason I years ago bought an Alexa Mini or whatever it was because I straight up I was like, well, I need a speaker.
Yeah.
And what if on that speaker?
I never had an Alexa. I had a Google Home for a bit. They freak me out, though. I used to like it more. And I had a friend whose whole like house was set up. So it's like, turn on the lights, dim to this,
right,
open
right.
the blinds and all that. I'm like, that's pretty cute.
It's
actually.
A cool concept.
I think that's really fun. But nowadays, I genuinely feel like we shouldn't.
No,
we
because it's
technology.
Well, that's the thing. When we moved in here, the previous tenants of this place had the place completely Google Homed. They had everything. We took down. They had the whole living room camera'd and the.
They did.
They
yes,
did. They
I
had,
did know that.
They had everything. The living room, the what is now my bedroom that I think was an office, also camera'd. Front door camera, speakers, all like all in and about. And they left that all here. And so it was all still wired in. So we had to disconnect everything and then manually choose what to keep. But we've kept it dead. So like we have the we have the living room speaker used as a doorbell, but we have it so that it does not listen to us. Like that feature is turned off.
Yeah.
It like once you like put it under the like years ago, that didn't seem too freaky. That seemed like a cool little innovation. And now with like the lens of how tech is being used, it's just sort of like
it's way too much. It's so creepy. No. I mean, it's like Pokemon Go like sold all their all of the users' information.
All of their
for,
data,
like,
yeah, I know.
Oh my god, evil.
They sold all of Ingress's data.
And you know what? Those five people inside of their house, that really does matter, yeah?
Look.
It really filled out the space there.
Yeah, does it count? Can we do a dork on Ingress if I get you to play it for a...
No, because you've tried to get me to play it and it sucks, dude. It sucks. It sucks. It's so boring.
I know.
Pokemon Go sucks now. I literally think a week and a half ago had a Times Square shut down all of the ads on Times Square to do one giant Mewtwo catch. Ingress could never do that.
Well, Ingress in its heyday did do that kind of shit. When it was pre-Pokemon Go, it did do that kind of shit. They will never again. It's not. Sure. It hasn't been for many years. Yeah.
They're doing a Pikmin one, which is another Nintendo property. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, going from Pokemon to Pikmin, it's like, come on.
I know they're not going to get the same universal.
There's other stuff. There's other stuff we could do. Yeah. Yeah. I miss mobile games. I re-downloaded. Big Final Fantasy fan, as everyone knows. Final Fantasy Dissidia is like a fighting game, Final Fantasy fighting game, that I used to love on the PlayStation Vita, little handheld console. They recently made a mobile version of it that I downloaded. It's exclusively online. The world's most predatory thing. You cannot play a match of this fighting game without watching an ad unless you spend $12 on Battle Pass. And obviously I did within like 20 minutes. I was like, I'm not watching another ad. I'll just buy the Battle Pass.
Yeah.
And then it was the world's most predatory thing ever. So I still have paid for it. I don't use it anymore. But it got me back in the mood for Honkai Star Rail. Do you remember my Honkai Star Rail? Do you remember my Honkai phase? Played it every day for literally the first year that game was out. I re-downloaded it. Man, that game fucks. It's fun as hell. Again, very predatory. I have spent $20 on it already. I've had it re-downloaded for like 4 days. Yeah. I have very, very bad kind of financial intelligence when it comes to video games.
Look, I get got all game. The time. Yeah.
I am so bad at it. The Steam summer sale was on, and I think I bought 6 games that I have not remotely touched. But I got them all because they were like, hey, look, all of these games normally would be like $120, and they're like $30. And it's like, obviously I'm buying those games. Are you kidding me? And I had to continuously hold myself back from buying more. I'm the big gamer fan over here.
Are you?
Oh my god.
You?
Me? No. You? Not really. You? This is very minor. I'm trying to become a film guy. We're on a long zero talk here, and I'm actually a fan of it.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Hey, for the people at home, you understand the deal if you're a long-time listener. Dylan and I have not spoken in a minute.
Yeah. You're
we
just
also
here
had
for the
like
ride,
maybe a, we had a 45-minute pre-recording chat, and now we're talking.
And now we're still catching up. We hit record and we're not done. So, deal.
Trying to become a film guy because I watched. Oh my god, I watched Nirvana the Band the Show.
Yes,
I watched Nirvana the Band the Show the movie, which made me so sad because I'm leaving Toronto soon. I live in Toronto. I have for the past 4-ish years. I'm leaving Toronto. It made me so sad because that is such a love letter to Toronto, and it's also so fun. It's such a fun movie. And then I was like, I've always heard about Nirvana the Band, the show of Nirvana the Band, the show, the movie. So I'll go back and I watched the show. I watched all the web series. I then watched all of the TV show twice. I've watched the whole TV show twice, the two seasons that it has. I have bought them in three different... I bought them on YouTube and then I just downloaded all of them because I wanted the DVDs, but they don't sell the DVDs at the minute.
Yeah.
But the thing about... You know what? It's very... My favorite show of all time is Community. Nirvana the Man the Show is very Community. They will do a reference and change the entire format of the show to fit that
reference. Like, okay.
That reference. So there's an entire... One of the last episodes is Indiana Jones inspired. They're doing a... like a treasure hunt. But they shoot... It's like a shot-for-shot remake of the opening of one of the Indiana Jones movies when he's a kid. And it's like, it's in a different film grade. It has like a completely different film language. Mm-hmm. There's one episode which is entirely like... Okay, so I didn't know this existed. Season 2, episode 1 of Nirvana the Band the Show is... Do you remember Wahlburgers? Mark Wahlberg's burger chain?
Oh my god. Now I do. I'm not a thing.
Just I didn't know it existed. It didn't make it over there. But they also had like a tie-in reality show about Wahlburgers.
This is coming back to me in a crazy way. Oh my god.
Season 2, episode 1, they changed the whole format of the show to be like that style of reality show. And they keep making fun of Wahlburgers in it. And it's just so fun. It's like the whole, like everything about the show is so neat. And they love film and like TV and video games so much. I was on Nirvana the Man the Show the movie and I loved it deeply. Yeah. And then there was I was watching interviews with Matt Johnson, who's the director, who's also one of the two of them, but he's like the director, the other guy's the composer, Jay McCarroll. But Matt Johnson is like, oh, I make films to try to teach and influence people to make films of their own. Like people who might be watching them, like I want them to make films. So I make films full of references of things that I love so that one day, hopefully, they will make films and TV about the things that they love. And it was really cute. And I was like, man, I haven't gotten into film like that in like a minute, but I used to be a fairly big film guy. Anyway, so I've watched a bunch of films recently. Watching a bunch of different TV, I get like this sometimes where I will just start putting on movies that I've not heard of ever or briefly heard of. Anyway, I told you about this and you said it's one of your favorite films ever. I watched Lars and the Real Girl. I wept for the last hour of that film. It is truly anyone, if anyone is listening,
it's a failure in marketing is that movie. Why it's not more widely known. This was another one of, I mean, this is why I'm a big fan of him in general. Ryan Gosling likes to take roles that he very obviously takes roles that he thinks are just genuinely interesting. It's why he was a key member in making Project Hail Mary happen. It was because he was very passionate about making it happen. And this was a thing for him. But he made Lars and the Real Girl, which like he made that at his like note in his like notebook
yeah
era.
He was
like
27
he was a
when he made it. Yeah.
he was a star dream boy kind of a person at the time, and he made this movie where he just tells this honestly just truly beautiful story about community and family and accepting each other and like meeting people where they are in order to heal them. And in all his interviews about it, like And all of the press about it was all trying to like make it seem like it was a comedy and kind of a silly, which like it has humorous moments. It has funny moments. It's very charming and funny. But it's not a ha ha movie.
It's not a ha ha comedy film. Because the thing is that I was worried about constantly, and it never does this, is it's about a guy, Lars, who gets a realistic sex doll, and treats it like a real person, like this real woman, and that is kind of the conceit of the movie. Is he's a very like sheltered, very lonely guy, awkward guy, who is processing something through this doll and then like treats her as if it's an actual person, and the whole town kind of rallies to also treat them like it's a real person relationship. And in the film you do buy it, like I swear to God the last hour I was like, this is a real woman, this is a real character.
And Ryan Gosling said the same thing in interviews where people were trying to get him to like make sex doll jokes and stuff like that to like do ha-has for the camera, and he would be like, at the end I missed her, he would say things like when we wrapped, like I found myself like missing her, or like I found myself like caring about her, and like it's just so kind,
like there's not a single characters who have a problem with it because they're worried about Lars, not because of anything else. But there's literally no point where people make fun of it. And it's crazy. It's so kind. It's a beautiful film. Really is. And like I was so emotional by it. I was like, wow, actually life is so beautiful. This is such
I just genuinely think it's a movie that is one of my favorites of all time, but I didn't see it when it first came out because it was advertised to me like it was a silly, goofy comedy about what seemed to be a movie making fun of maybe a mentally ill man. So I was sort of like, I don't know if that seems good to
me. And it could not be.
It could not be more different than that. It could not be. It's the opposite.
So beautiful. It really is. No, it's a great film. Anyway, that's in my.
Yeah.
That was one of the first films in my like journey to get more into film. It's a great film. If anyone's not seen it's beautiful.
I really recommend it.
It's sad in a beautiful kind way.
It's sad and beautiful, yes.
Yeah, but I cried for a long portion of that film.
Yeah.
Just because it was just so moving.
It can get me even if I scroll past like a clip or something like that. If it's the clips towards the end, I scroll past them, I will get emotional. Yeah. Out of context.
And you know what? And the thing is, Ryan Gosling, it is still this heartthrob. It's fucking Ryan Gosling.
Of course.
But that the only reason he has Project Hail Mary is because he was doing stuff like that, because he was pushing himself out, because he's so good in it. Like he's like an outrageously talented actor. It's great. Haley refuses to watch it because they're like, I can't watch like squishy Ryan Gosling, I'm gonna go insane. And I was like, yeah, I get it, because I went insane about it. He's so fucking cute. He's so cute.
He is cute. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh dear.
Wow.
Oh. Anyway, beautiful.
Anyway.
Well, what a nice chat. Okay. Well, thanks, gang.
I think we're ready. I think we can do this now.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to start?
Sure. I mean, hi, my name is Robin. I have never played Stray Gods before.
And hi, my name is Dylan. I had played the demo of Stray Gods, I realized. Whoa. I thought I had played the entire thing. And then as we got to the end of playing Act One, I was like, less than this. And I think that I played a demo version of the game.
Fun. And this is Dorfspawn. It's a video game book club where we talk about video games like a book club. This week, talking about Stray Gods. Stray Gods Act 1. This is an indie game. This is a role-playing musical. There was a lot of hype for this game when it originally came out. The voice cast is very stacked.
Very
stacked. It is a musical where the choice, you are making choices for the song, like your character choices.
You're in and out of song. You make choices, but like I think the fact that you make choices mid song and that changes.
That's the big. Yeah, that's the cool thing. That's like the gimmick of the game is that it's a musical and you're doing that. A lot of hype for this game when it came out. I heard a lot about it. I never picked it up because I just didn't think it would be for me. It would not be something that I would not normally play, which, you know, which is kind of a big reason why I love this show, and I hope to kind of do this more, is like I wouldn't have played Dragon Age otherwise.
Right. Sure. You know,
doing it for this, and I would never have played this otherwise. I like dating sims, but this also isn't that. There's like three romance options, four romance options, or whatever. But it's like, but the game has nothing kind of to do more than that. But the game has nothing to do with. You know,
right? It's not actually a dating sim, but it has. Yeah.
It definitely has elements. It's very. It is a visual novel. It is a visual novel where you do sing it in it.
Yeah.
Minor
animation.
Very minor
animation. Beautiful art style.
It is pretty.
The conceit happening, like so we. Open. We're Grace. We're the main character we're playing is Grace. Uh-huh. She's in a band. Opens on the band holding auditions.
For a new member. First Cinema Sins ding for me. This is like a cool punk rock band. There's a guy playing saxophone and they make a joke like, no. And I'm like, that would be so sick. A saxophone guy in your fucking punk rock band. Grow up. You know nothing about the culture.
Yeah. I agree.
In
this first scene, like your bandmates are like, I guess what's happening is like they've been probably doing this a while and they haven't found anybody. Everybody's at their wit's end. And they all leave Grace alone in this auditorium somewhere, holding her band auditions. And then Grace starts singing a song, about feeling adrift, this song.
Yes.
That she's singing. And then midway through a beautiful woman with blonde hair comes in. And starts to sing with her, and it turns into this like duet between the two. That woman, during this song, you get your first and like kind of big character choices. Like you have a few in the scene with your band, but then like when you're singing with Calliope, you have your first big moments. That are going to define how your character just simply responds to things, which I think is cool. I forget what the choices were.
It's like charismatic, aggressive, and clever, I think is like the general what the three of them are.
Yes. What did you choose?
I picked clever.
I did too.
I thought you would. You know what? I was like, I feel like Dylan might go like aggressive or like it's not aggressive. I think it's like confrontational or something. It's not aggressive.
Yeah, because I chose charismatic in my demo
original. Yeah. No, I went clever. My Grace is very much she just doesn't really have time for the nonsense of other people's like emotional baggage. Is like I'm gonna do what I came here to do. Please stop crying on me. So she's very like I wanted her to be very like sharp as a tack, like she's a she's a clever woman.
Yeah.
Is going to get done what she wants to get done.
Yeah. I was imagining Grace for me as like the business minded person for the band is why I chose clever for her.
Cool.
Like, you know, like I'm being picky. I'm being so picky about this new person, not because I want to like have the right sound or like them or whatever. Like I want the band to do well. So like we're gonna be like the band kind of manager essentially, and that's why I picked witty or witty or clever or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so we have this duet with this woman. And then she, at the end, like, is, like, so weird about our singing. And is like, I heard you from out in the hall. I'm not actually here to audition. But, like, I was drawn to you. And tells us her name is Calliope.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how we get introduced to the sort of, like, what is going to be the ongoing Greek gods theme of this game. And then we go home to our apartment, and home in our apartment, Calliope shows up at
literally
our apartment.
Immediately. Like it's a literally cut immediately. We walk into our apartment.
Yeah.
Calliope bursts through the door, stabbed and dying in our arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when she dies, there's this like weird magic transfer that happens into Grace. And then again, immediately a magic door opens up into our apartment and Hermes shows up who looks like a little messenger boy, which I think is cute. And he is like, sorry, you got to come in.
One second. My headphones ran out of power because my headphones hate me.
I'm going to step away for a second.
I'm going to get a little charger. Hoop. Actually, no, I could just switch it here. Sick and twisted. Good. I love my wireless headphones a lot. The amount that this motherfucker just turns off in the middle of me just doing truly anything. And I'll say this. I understand. The worst thing for me is when wireless headphones are like low power at like 20% battery. And then they tell you it at low power at 15%, 10%, 5%, 3% and then off. That also freaking sucks. But I do hate that these ones just will randomly turn off. It pisses me off so bad. Sorry, I'm just ranting about, I love my wireless headphones because I can get up and walk around with them. Oh my God, how perfect.
I know, how lovely.
I also hate how my phone wireless headphones say low power on like 20% battery, 15, 10, 5, 3% battery. And they just keep saying low power. And I'm like, well, I'm out of the house, so I can't do anything about it. I do not like how my wireless headphones for my PC don't say low power at all. They will
just turn off. That's crazy.
Just turn off.
Why wouldn't they warn you?
No, I'm so sorry. I am back. I've returned. Hermes picks us up and takes us to a room with the chorus. That's where we got up to.
Yes.
Or the chorus is like chambers or whatever. It's like they're not there yet.
The chorus is... like, yeah, we go to basically a room where we're supposed to be meeting these people, and they don't show up for what it seems like hours and hours.
Yeah.
And then when they do, they introduce themselves as the council or the chorus of idols.
Mm-hmm.
And they are like, they're explaining this situation, aka the pitch of this game, which is that the Greek gods are real.
Mm-hmm.
And they're here with us around just kind of like humans, which I really like. I think that's good. And they're like, the soul of them continuously gets transferred around.
Yeah, they like body jump.
Yes.
I think is what the implication is.
Yeah.
They do the same thing as what happened to us. But it's more, it's with that, it's more planned and like a choice. Yeah.
Which, like, now, so the idea is that Calliope's essence is in Grace now. But Calliope was still murdered. And so the chorus is here to be like, clearly you murdered her. So congratulate, like, the tone of this is very interesting because they're sort of like, congratulations, you are now one of the idols. You are
one
now
of the
a
idols.
God.
However,
we
comma,
will be killing you.
You have to die.
You have to die because you clearly killed
for
another
you
idol.
And I apologize. Yeah. And hey, listen, I love me a murder mystery. I love me a murder mystery where it's like the stakes are, we think you did it. You have to prove your own innocence. I always think that's a fun setup for a story. Murder mystery is one of my fave genres of thing. And it's a fun setup. It's a fun setup to us, to
right,
a tale.
Because they agree after another couple of songs and some things and some clear dissonance between some of the chorus. So it's Athena, Apollo, Persephone,
and Aphrodite. Everyone is in agreement except for Apollo, who is the one that says, no, I don't think this is good. And then because the chorus has to be unanimous, they were like, fine, we won't kill you. You have to prove your innocence, though.
By determining who actually did
who
it.
Who actually did it. You have 1 week to do so. If you do not, then we will just kill you anyway.
Which is very, very, very interesting. You go back to your apartment. Hang on one second. Hang on. I have to pull this up because it's so exciting to me. Yes. Okay. So you go back to your apartment where you have a roommate, apparently.
Freddie, who's one of the members of your band.
Yes. Freddie is your roommate who, A, is hot, and B, is voiced by Janina Gavankar, who... for people who stuck it out through the later and weirder seasons of True Blood, it's a big deal to me that she's in this, fucking game, as your obviously queer roommate who has maybe some feelings for you.
Who is the... One of the first dialogue options in the whole game is start a romance with Freddy.
One of the first choices.
And I was like, no, because I don't know who this woman is.
I know. That is a thing is that I do actually kind of wish I had because I do really like her.
You get a lot of choices because you get it again
later.
Exactly.
I have a rule that like the first person you have the ability to flirt with in a video game, I can't do
it.
I have to know what else is out there. But so she's like, you've been gone for like hours and hours. What happened?
Yeah, you've been
gone
like, the whole night, and it's like halfway through the day. Everyone's freaking out and looking for you.
And you're also like, was there a body here? What happened to the
body?
Yes,
you see the floor. There is no body on the floor. It's all gone. And then she's like, okay, you're good. What happened? I chose to make up a story in this and not tell Freddy what happened. And the response that they... Because I was like, just make up anything. Just say that you were out doing anything else. But then Grace literally makes up this stupid story of like, I was with a fantasy elf and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, dumbass. Be smart about it. Make it up and say, I was out with this other friend. This other friend came by. Because I can't let Freddy know about the Greek god chorus. It's literally one of the only rules that they gave us is don't tell mortals that we exist. And I was like, I'm not gonna do that. I'm a smart guy. I'm gonna figure this out and I'll figure it out on my own. I don't need to embroil anyone else in it anyway. And then she makes up a stupid story and I got mad at it.
I evaded, I think it was. I think I like evaded the topic or something like that.
Yeah.
But
ultimately
then...
though, this doesn't matter because somebody walks in and just starts going through your drawers. And this is a guy
in
like this like very sharp suit with these big goat ram horns. Who reveals himself to be Pan, not hiding from Freddy at all.
Carrie Pig.
Who is?
Carrie Payton does, I mean, has been like on The Walking Dead and stuff like that.
Oh,
but,
sure.
But is like, but also does a lot of like actual play stuff around. Yeah.
Sure. So this is a very, oh my God.
What?
Oh my God. Do you know who the writer for Stray Gods is?
Who?
It's David Gator.
Oh my God, that's right. It is David Gator. Yeah.
That's so fucking crazy.
I did know that.
You buried the lead on that. What the fuck?
I forgot. Yes. I forgot.
What the fuck? That's the number one thing we open this. This is
I know,
related
it's
to
so
drag.
Funny.
I was so like, Stray Gods is such a weird game for us to be playing. And I'm like, David Gator? Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, truly grab a random, any random character in this, and they are voiced by someone who you know.
Yeah.
You want to go on a beautiful day out? Hang out with Athena, voiced by Felicia Day.
Felicia Day.
Laura Bailey is Grace. Apollo is Troy Baker. Like, everyone is everyone.
Right. Oh, God. What is her name?
Mary Elizabeth McGlynn.
McGlynn. Yes. Is also in it.
Ashley Johnson is Calliope.
Yeah.
Allegra Clark is Hecate. Hermes is Erika Ishii. Like, everyone is everyone. Like, everyone is somebody.
Everyone is everyone.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't know David Gator wrote this. Yes. Sorry, he is in The Walking Dead. He plays Ezekiel. I didn't get that many seasons in, but in the comics, Ezekiel is sick as fuck. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool and fun. Didn't know that.
So he's messing around in your kitchen and also kind of taunting you a little bit about your new predicament and is sort of like, hey, I can help you out if you just help you out. And and then like there is a moment where your roommate then fully fucking notices him being there and is sort of like, what the fuck is going on? So if you did lie to her or like tried to lie to her, at now this point, like she's a little upset.
You have to kind of just be like, all right, fine, hands up. This is why. But she does forgive you really fast because I was like, yeah, they told me not to tell anyone. So I didn't want to get you involved. And she was like, I mean, that's fine. That makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. So we did, we do all that. And then Pan is like, you should follow my lead. I have a lead to give you. You should do, you know, you would owe me a favor, basically, but like you should do what I, you know, like tell you.
And then
and Frankie
Freddie
is like, you should not trust this
you should
at
not
all.
You should not do this. We can figure it out. Like, you know, we can do this together. We don't need to get more embroiled in God stuff.
Yeah.
We'll just shoot our own shot. And then there is a pretty good song. I did like, this is the first
time
the song choices come up where both, it's a duet between Pan and Freddie. They're like kind of singing over each other. And then you are making choices on who to side with. If you're going to side with Pan or if you're going to side with Freddie, and then your song mixes into their song as they're singing, or you could do what I did and pick neither of them the whole time, which is like both of you are wrong. Like, this doesn't need to be a one or like this doesn't need to be like a like I either pick you or either pick you. Let's just work together on this. We're a team.
Yeah,
and that's what I did.
I was siding with Pan the entire time. And then in the very last choice was like, because the song is like them kind of trying to convince you one way or the other. And to me, I'm like, Pan knows this world. Pan knows my predicament. Like, I don't know any of this. I have to go where there's, you know, information.
Yeah.
So that felt logical. But then to me, the like switch at the end where the two of them are just like, choose one of us. I was like, wait, hold on. I'm going to take his advice. I'm not abandoning you, Freddy.
It started becoming like, because Pan gets pretty like anti-Freddy in it.
Yeah.
I was neutral the entire time, but then I was like, hold on. And I did move to Freddy for like a verse, and then I moved back to neutral to be like, hold on, Pan, you can back off. It's still like, we're not fighting. Like,
yeah.
She already knows about the world that is my friend pre this. I don't know who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
But ultimately, so, I picked neither of them. I said I'd go it alone.
So, yeah, I said basically we have to work together. And that is essentially beautiful. Means I'm going to go it alone.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I'm here to tell you about Dice Exploder, a podcast where each week me and a rotating co-host take one tabletop RPG mechanic, just one mechanic, and break it down as deep as we possibly can. If you love thinking about role-playing games and how they work, this is the show for you. Come listen to me talk to Alex Roberts about love and pity, John Harper about elegance and layout, and Mikey Ham about, what else? Exploding dice! It's an interview show, a review show, a design show, and most of all, a show for anyone who loves these games. Come on down and join us. Find Dice Exploder at diceexploder.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And then Pan gives you an address.
Yes.
To go to, and it is Calliope's, like, apartment is where she lived.
Yeah.
You go there, you go there to look for clues. You do maybe the worst investigating ever, which is
At art and be like, this is some art.
Look at art and then look at every instrument individually. And I'm like, we're here to look at a murder scene. This is the worst anyone's ever done, I think.
I know.
It's so funny. It's weird. And then you go upstairs. And you find Apollo sulking around in a destroyed room.
Yeah.
Apollo voiced by Troy Baker, which is pretty fun. I knew I recognized his voice like the whole time I was playing it. And then I had to Google it because I was like, it's pissing me off that I can't figure out who this voice is. And it is Apollo. Yeah. playing the world's wettest, most pathetic man. Cannot stand him. Yeah. Cannot Ever. Stand Apollo in this. He's too loser pathetic for me to enjoy.
This
which I know
so
is a
funny,
weird sentence.
Because this is also how, I don't know if you know Serenity, who GMs yep. Tragedy of Theologian.
Yeah.
Serenity also plays Apollo like that.
Like this.
In her so Greek Gods D&D campaign, which That's I think so is really funny. Just a sad, sulking,
just
pathetic
wet boy. Such a loser. And then we have a song. Oh, do we have a... No, we don't have a song here.
Yes, we do a song with Apollo, the Phantom Pain song about like something missing that's still hurting you.
Oh, and, sure. I was whatever. Just so belligerent to this guy because he's so like, I know the future, but I can't say it. And I'm like, don't then.
You.
Fuck off. I was like, don't tell me then. Go away. Like, do if you're not going to be useful, leave.
Get out of here.
Because he keeps saying that he's not going to help, but he wants to help. And I'm like, then help. And he's like, oh, but I can't. And I'm like, yes, you can. Just help me. And then he's like, oh, but I can't tell you the future. Because if I tell you the future, then fate gets locked in place. I'm like, okay, don't tell me the future. Look around. Shuffle some papers. I'm so sick of you being this pathetic. Like, stop
right, like,
hanging around
me
like a fucking loose dog. Like, do something. Guy pissed me off. I do not like Apollo in this.
I know.
A guy is such a loser. But he says that it is weird that Pan helped us. He shouldn't have done that, he says. He shouldn't have done that, or it's not like him to help. So that's interesting. So I wrote that down because it's a murder mystery. And I was like, interesting. Mm-hmm. Good to know. We then go to Apollo's apartment because although Apollo says that he can't help, he has someone who can help. And we get introduced to the Oracle. There's an Oracle every generation, and they're always different. But this one is like a cyber sleuth, which I think is cool. Yes,
very fun.
An interesting take on an Oracle here is like the Oracle is just this...
She's like a teenager.
She's like
early 20-something.
Yeah.
Like subsisting on energy drinks and like just kind
and, like,
of
Doritos.
Hacking the web, has like a 3 monitor set up like on the floor, which I think is fun.
It's fun. She is like, she doesn't believe in any of the god stuff, even though Apollo has told her. Is like, I'm not the Oracle. The Oracle is my online handle. I don't know the future. I just can find things on the internet really easy. What's wrong with you?
Yes.
And I also think that that's fun. And she's like, because I'm like, why are you here if you don't like Apollo? And he's like, I mean, he's nice enough. He's just fucking weird.
Right. But, and he like lets
like,
me.
But I'm, yeah, he
like,
lets me do kind of whatever I want.
Shit.
Exactly. And it's like, I don't want to go home because my fucking home sucks. But I don't like this guy. It's like, I just think that's such a fun... That was a fun dynamic. I liked her. We find out via the Oracle that the apartment was bought by Persephone. And Persephone gave it to Calliope. So then there's motive there. There's a weird connection that we don't know about. Persephone,
right.
who
and
was
And that
the...
none of the other idols... knew about this, which makes it more
weird.
Interesting.
And Persephone was gunning for us to be killed, was like really the harshest person in that. So, but Persephone owns a club, an idol exclusive club called the Underworld. So we go to the Underworld, or go to Underworld, I guess. And then we have people that we can speak to around the club. We're trying to find out where Persephone is. I spoke to Eros first, which is fun because he was the only person who I didn't know. I spoke to Eros and then it was like, oh, Eros immediately can just give me the way to get to Persephone. Sick. I could just skip everyone else and not talk to them. But I did. I went around. I was a good boy. I spoke to everyone else. Pan is there. I can't remember what Pan talks about. I think he's just like, oh, was my information useful?
Something like that,
lightly comment on it. Then you can go chat to Hermes, and Hermes didn't know Calliope at all. Only met when she was stabbed, and is like the cleanup person for idols. Like they know every idol when they die will see Hermes because a door will open for Hermes and Hermes just knows that they have to go through it. They go through it, they clean up a dead body. I genuinely, now I'm a little bit of spoiler alert for how I feel about the game. I don't love it. I think it's kind of fine, but really like this Hermes being a cleanup guy is cool as hell.
Yes,
that's
I like
so
that very
good
much.
For me.
I'm gonna tell my feelings at the end because I have a mess of them.
I also kind of do. apparently the previous Hermes was a friend of this current Hermes, but killed himself in front of the other Hermes, which is how this current one has the power. And I'm like, woof, that's tough, buddy.
I know.
That kind of sucks. And then I went to go speak to Apollo because I was like, I feel like I have to speak to Apollo. I went over. Apollo says that Persephone kills Hades. Idol on idol violence never happens. It just isn't done. And the reason why you are going to be killed for killing an idol is because the last time this happened, Persephone killed Hades and Hades is now gone.
This is interesting. Is this the order in which you got this story?
Yeah, I got Eros, Pan, Hermes, Apollo. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the people I spoke to.
Okay. Wait, keep going because I want to see if it's different than how I got it.
Persephone killed Hades. There wasn't a rule in place for idol killings yet, so they had to make one for that, is how I understood it.
Yes. That's true. It's just that I got, and I can't remember if it was Pan or Eros who told me this, but I got first, before I talked to Hermes and found out that bit. What I found out first was that Persephone got basically abused and betrayed by all of the gods, like that she was kidnapped essentially and forced to stay in the underworld.
Yes,
she killed another god, yes, but it was essentially like in self-defense, and that none of the gods knew what to do with her, but they all basically voted to punish her and like ostracize her. And so this new like ordinance that like if you kill an idol, you have to be put to death is something that it seems like Persephone is holding strict because she was held to the letter of this law. It like feels like, and she was like, she was,
I like it, yeah,
you know, like. And so then when I got the like, I think it was interesting that like I got that bit of like, oh, Persephone was betrayed, and then I spoke to somebody else and got the like, oh yeah, no, it's been this law. And it just felt like it fell into place that like Persephone has been, it got a little more humanized because she obviously seems like she's gunning for you like hard. And what this recontextualizes is that, no, she's gunning for the law to be followed, the one that fucked her over. Right, like, yeah, the one, yeah, that, like, was made to fuck her over, basically. So that's interesting. Because then, obviously, you go to confront Persephone.
Yeah. A main thing that influenced how I approached this Persephone conflict was Apollo says, I think it's Apollo, it might be Eros, says, don't fight her, don't like challenge her in any way, like just kind of just plead that you don't want to fight here,
yeah,
and it'll go smoother because she's gunning for you aggressively, and the if you step to that level, she is going to go up until you can't go up anymore and is just going to like blitz you out of the sky. So I approach this next duet, another very good one.
Yes,
I really like the song choices in it. I will say I don't think the songs in this are very good at all, but I
want to talk about it.
I really like the idea of it. I think it's got such great bones as to like,
oh my god,
what is interesting in songs, and we'll talk about it later. Anyway, my whole thing in this was full green. I do not want to fight. I'm not here to fight you. I'm not here to outsmart you or anything. I literally just want to talk, and we should be working together if we're looking to prove innocence. We should be doing this side by side, basically, was my whole fight. And then toward the end of this song, there is an option about Calliope that I couldn't pick that I thought was really fun. There was an option I couldn't select.
Because it wasn't your class, essentially, right?
It must have been that. I didn't see the little class thing next to it, but it was an option that is like in this duet song, because in each, so there is the green charisma, the red aggression, and the blue clever. Every song, whenever you have a choice, you have a green, a red, and a blue option to go, which is the like charisma, the like aggression rise to them, or it is the blue intelligence option. But with one of them, like I couldn't pick the green Calliope charisma option. I could only pick aggression or go in with intelligence, which I thought was fun. That was cool. I got Persephone on my side by the end of it, and she was like, "Fine, you've earned your answers. Let's go talk about it."
Yeah,
and we walked to the back room and talked.
I did get her on my side. There is a moment where, like, when you finish that song, Persephone and Apollo are still at odds with each other. And Apollo storms out and is like, let's get out of here. And you have the option to storm out with Apollo.
This is in the conversation after the song. After the song, you have it. Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if you stayed with Persephone or if you left with Apollo.
I stayed with Persephone.
I did too.
Because I hate Apollo. Nice.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, you hate Apollo. See, I like him. I like a sad, pathetic man so much. Yeah. But yes.
Well, so the thing is, so you had this whole conversation afterward, this earned answers conversation where Persephone, like, gets real with you. Persephone says that she's the one who destroyed the apartment looking for answers after it happened.
Oh, that's right. Yes, she does say that. Yeah.
She was close with Calliope, but they haven't spoken in like years because Calliope is a very angry woman. She is a very reactionary, like hated all the gods, didn't do anything that they like said or wanted and was like very anti them. And originally, like, I think it was Persephone and Calliope, like, found truce in that because neither of them liked it. But then Calliope was against Persephone at the end, and then they got in a big fight and they hadn't spoken. But Persephone did give Calliope a house just free of charge, no, like, nothing in return. And then it is questioned that Athena is the villain. And I kept fighting, yes, that is the case. I was like, no, we have to have her as a suspect. But Persephone is so anti that cause.
Yes.
Persephone, Apollo have a big fight. Pick one of them. Apollo, again, is a kind of a sad sack of shit, but gets really real world angry and like is big, like storm power of the sun god screaming. And Persephone's like, this is who you actually are. Like, you're not this, like, pathetic little guy. You're an angry, vengeful man. And I picked Persephone to stay with because Apollo's not helping me. Like, I need to get
to
the bottom of this.
You.
Apollo has said several times, I can't help you. And it's like, okay, if you can't help me, I'm going to stay with a woman who does want to help me then. It's easier.
Yeah, woman who does want to help you. And also, honestly, misunderstood woman. Anytime, like
she hasn't done anything wrong, and that's
right.
The
like,
thing.
Yeah, it's just so clear that like there's more to her story, and like that her experience of these people is more complicated than Apollo's, and so I'm just like, yeah, absolutely.
And it's she just seems like I know that she's very pro Athena. And it's like, Athena would never do this. But it's like, yeah, but you're at least like talking to me about stuff and
right.
like giving me actual information. Like I'm very new to this world. I don't know anything. Apollo isn't helping and is also seemingly more pro-God than you are, even though you're very pro-Athena. I don't know. It's a whole thing. But I was like, I'm staying with Persephone. I feel like she is the only one who's actually going to give me some answers here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was act one of Stray Gods.
That's act one.
Talk to me about your complicated feelings.
So my complicated feelings are this. I think this game is, I genuinely think it's so good. I think that it has pretty good writing. It's got like a good amount of choice based trees. Like, there are things that I know that we made that I can tell are things that are going to cascade into the rest of the game. Like I can see it already in my head, and there's so many of them. The choice trees within the songs are also really interesting. And the amount that you can change like characters mid song is really cool. Also really big fan of the fact that this Greek mythos that they're working on is not a one-to-one Greek mythos. They've kind of introduced the idea that like some of what we know about Greek mythology may not be 100% accurate.
Yeah.
Giving them,
but I
like,
also like that it's like, it doesn't seem to be retelling any old stories. It's like, oh, that happened like thousands of years ago. We've had a lot of stuff, shit happen to us since then.
Yeah.
We just kind of blended in with society more. I like the fact it's no longer palace. I like a modern folk. I like the, like, we're not in palaces anymore. Obviously, we're in office buildings.
Right.
I like the, yeah, we are able to remain hidden because we keep dying and putting our souls in other people to, like, live on. I think that's
my
interesting
complicated
kind of world.
My, where it gets complicated for me is that the idea of this being a musical is so cool and so ambitious. And unfortunately, I don't think that it pulls that off as a musical. And I don't mean that none of the music is good. There are two songs in Act One that I think are actually good. It's just that the songs, and this is, I think, something that is really challenging because obviously, like, I am not saying that I could do better at this, but, like, there is something about, I think, the fact that the songs are, A, designed for you to be able to switch verses very quickly, like, between different choices. And also, I think because the songs were written, from what I read, by a music group that primarily does, like, comedy musical improv, so not, like, musical theater. Like, I don't know. I know there are connections there, but, like, it's a different ballgame. But so none of the songs have the gravitas that any of this.
Yeah.
Like, especially, like, you know, like this opening song, this, like, thing that's supposed to be, like, full of
the I want song. It's
longing,
like, it's the big,
I want, like, the setting up the character of Grace. There is no, there's not a musical theater aspect behind this. Musical theater needs there to be drama, needs there to be, like, exaggeration of your emotions, and, like, that needs to swell in almost a comedic way, because, like, if you take, like, musical theater and you try to, like, put it in anything else, like, it like,
yeah,
to make silly something musical theater and, like, to make it a musical, it does need to be dramatic. And you need to have big songs with big feelings. And the songs in this, there are two, like I said, in Act One that I liked and that I think are good. But other than that, outside of that, they do really, like, feel kind of flat and not very good. And I don't think that that is a performance issue. I don't think that that's, like, the singers aren't doing their job, like, or whatever. I think that that is just, like, the songs are trying to do a lot and and are maybe sacrificing drama to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's my guess.
I agree a little bit. Part of me, I think the quality of the songs and therefore the game, because, I mean, this game is the
right,
songs.
It needs
to be good for it to do it. And I don't think they are. Like, I basically forgot.
No, I know. Yeah. Most of them.
I think they should have gone less voice actor, more musical theater. Like, I think they should have saved the money on the notable people and gotten Broadway in to do some voice acting.
The thing is, I do think the songs are written flat. I think the songs
are
written flat.
I also think this, so, but I think it doesn't help that they're also performed fairly in the register, that these voice actors who can sing, like, hey, listen, we Ashley Johnson can sing. We know this. Laura Bailey can sing. This. Troy Baker has a whole fucking musical career, but it's like they're not. They
Broadway.
Don't lead.
They're not. Yeah,
they're not Broadway. And this needs that gravitas to be interesting. I don't. There is a lot in this. I found myself tuning out so much of this game just because I thought a lot of things were like weird and bad. I think the audio mixing, this is
that's
purely
okay.
Technical.
That's another
the
thing
audio
I was gonna bring
mixing
up.
In
the
this
songs
game, I think
mixed
is
poorly
not good.
Into
yeah.
it to the point where it almost okay. So I was playing this with Elliot and Rowan in the living room watching. And, you know, this is like, so I had some, like, some other opinions in the crowd because I was thinking, like, the songs are so quiet. And then Elliot actually brought something up to me. It was like, is this game not scored? Like, because outside of the songs...
Mm. There's nothing.
It almost sounds like there's no score, but there is a score. There is a, like, background score. It's just so low in the mix that you can't hear it in the game. Yeah. I checked my settings. Everything is turned up. There's, like, it is, like, so my thought on this, and I can't help but to think this, is that they... it seems like they are being shy about the music.
And
like
that is every piece of media that has songs in it that are kind of shy and scared and a little embarrassed at their musicals, every single one of them fails.
Yes.
Because they're shy about it. And I'm going to tell you this. Has-Been Hotel is a horrendously written show. It is so dog shit. The moment-to-moment writing of Has-Been Hotel are so fucking awful. Let me tell you this. It wants to be a musical. Every single voice actor is a Broadway performer. These songs are not embarrassed in any way about being a Broadway song. And they fuck. They're so good.
Yeah.
Because it's not embarrassed to be what it is. Even though... It should be embarrassed to be Has-Been Hotel because it fucking sucks.
No, but you can't because that's and this is one of the things that my musical theater teacher taught me in the 7th grade is that you cannot make two mistakes. If you are going to mess up or whatever, then do it loud. Because if you are going to mess up and also do it quiet, that's two mistakes. If you were, you're adding that, just fucking do it. And I think that that's very interesting because I do think like, it's like, okay, what did I like about the two songs that I did really like? The song with Pan, I thought that Pan's voice actor, like, really brought a lot of energy to that song.
Yeah.
The song's also written, I think, with a lot of energy, but I think more importantly, he pushes the song forward in that. And it was the first time that I actually felt like, okay, this feels
I was
a little
kind
musical
of
theater-y
him.
Like
yeah.
to me.
I will say this, though, because again, this is the first song where you make decisions. This happened to me in the Pan song. I can't remember if it happened with others. I was going one route. So the song had like one route, which was neutral. It was rocky. It was like poppy. I then picked the Freddie Green option and the tone of the song bricked, changed entirely to the point where the rhythm of the song was different in a way that was so jarring that it was like, this fucking sucks, actually. That's so crazy. It doesn't.
I didn't have that happen because I think I picked.
It was deeply annoying. It was upsetting. Yeah.
Oh, do you know when that happened to me? That happened to me in my little battle song with Persephone, where you like do a little battle for the crowd with her.
Sure, yeah.
Because I chose I forget which options I was choosing, but I chose like one almost the entire way. And then I switched to a little bit aggressive at the end. And it, I think, changed the song to like straight up to a rap song or like to a hip hop song or something like that.
And I tell you what, I think that is the bit. Now, this is a logistical. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say this. If people who are listening who are like, oh, well, it's hard. Yeah, gang. This shit is a logistical nightmare. I would never even pretend to know how to approach making a choice game where your choices are a verse in a song. The dramatic shift, because so far I have been picking one option and then maybe gone one separate. The time I've done it, the shift has been so dramatic because I think they have song vibes on the choices. You pick the same choice, you're going to get the same like feel and vibe of the song the whole way through if you pick that every time. But the three choices feel so different that it's like, I don't want to just keep switching the vibe of the song to make a fucking sonic nightmare. All three of the choices should be the same genre, feeling, vibe of a song, but the words and the emotion behind them are different. Like,
even just keep the genre the same. The vibe could, you know, like a song can get crescendoed, can get louder, can get or softer to change the vibe instead of switching genres. I think my thought is that, like, like we both said, we could not do this. I can't.
I would never
imagine
never in a million years even question attempt to do
it. I do think that because this was an indie project, they probably had limited funds. If they could, I think that it feels like something that should and can be done really well. And the fact that I think the writing in this game and the choice landscape of this game is amazing. And so I think that this could be done really well. I think that you need musical theater writers, and I think you need musical theater performers to like really make this land. And like, don't get me wrong, like the movies have done it a million times. Like Disney loves to have a voice actor and a singer. Like, I'm not saying they should do that necessarily, but like you could,
and I feel like also the way that the singing in the universe is framed, where this is specifically Grace's power. Like, Grace has a power to be able... We didn't, and that's on me because I haven't written
that.
So the reason why the songs are happening is because Grace has a power in her to get people to say their true feelings through song, which is why it happens right at the beginning. It's why everyone is singing in the thing, because she's kind of making this weird reality where she's reading the people's true feelings and they're singing them at her, and then she's singing them back, like in this duet. So I feel like if you're doing that already, it's fairly justified to have a singing voice be different from the talking voice. I will also say, in terms of quote-unquote choice game, yes, you have dialogue options. I find most interactions with 90% of characters so fucking dull that I would rather be doing literally anything else.
Fascinating. I really like this game for that. I really think I really think that the dialogue is very good, and like that I think the beginning scene has the worst, but I think that it really dramatically improves, and like I think there's so much choice happening. So I do disagree on that, but I think there's so much happening in this, and I think that so much of it is so good. I just think that it's tough because obviously I love musicals, and I want this to be I want this to be a video game musical, and it is a video game that has music in it, and
kind
it
of
to me is not
it, yeah.
a video game musical because the music no. is
it's not very
it's not musical. It's also just like not it's not musical theater. It's not like
yeah.
It's not giving me that kind of energy.
Yeah. I agree on that.
Interestingly, this is where I deviate, and I don't have experience with the game, so I'm excited to play Act Two.
I really am. I really hope they give us options of where to go. This is a mystery. I would like to, and this is a personal thing. I want to be doing some investigative work. In this, you go to like a map screen that is like, it looks like I should be able to choose between multiple places, but it's just one place. And I feel that same with like everything that's like, you get to do multiple things. It's like, I don't though, do I? I do this one thing and it's just like, I'm just doing this one thing. I hope that Act Two and Three has a little like, you have to pick one of these two places to go to, and then we're gonna advance the story in some way. I can only imagine that it will do.
I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not bought in yet. The thing is, I think there's a lot in the world that's really interesting. I think that they're kind of doing a lot of stuff that I'm not very interested in. I like the setup. I don't love the characters yet. I'm not a huge fan of the songs. I want a little more freedom to like talk to people who I'm interested in. But I imagine that will open up. You know, we have Persephone on the team now. I'm excited to see how that plays out. I said at the beginning, I didn't pick up this game because I didn't think it would be for me. So far, I am correct. It's really not for me. But
yeah.
If someone was to say they were looking for something unique in terms of a choice game, I'd be like, Stray Gods is something that you should check out. Because it's very unique. I love the swings that they're doing. The things that they're trying, even though I'm like, you could have tried, you could have gone a little harder in this, but I appreciate what you want to do.
Yes.
And it is something I've not seen before. And I think that's really cool.
I know. I do feel that way too. I'm like, I'm so glad they tried this. And I hope, the thing is that I hope that them or somebody else tries again. Like,
yeah, they have with a DLC that has Anthony Rapp as the lead, a Broadway guy.
Yes.
Already they're doing different things. Apparently it's not got very good reviews, but it's Orpheus.
I like that. I know. And I do want to play that too. The thing is, I will.
Yeah, I don't think we'll do it on but we could, you know, we play it separately, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking that, like, this is my thought, is that, like, if the music isn't written for well for this, then, like, having Broadway performers isn't gonna help.
Yeah.
Like, it's the music has to be written
but
well too.
I think,
like,
it's a step in the right direction. Is like, arguably, my biggest criticism is that they should have.
Oh yeah, there should be musical theater people should be involved in this project.
And then they're like, oh, in our DLC, we have Anthony Rapp, and people are like, oh my god, the guy from Star Trek, and you're like, no, the guy from Rent.
The guy from Rent.
It's the Broadway actor. This is a good step for them to make.
Yeah.
And you know what? I hope that this project isn't like a we did it, cool, and then they move on. I hope it is like a cool. Let's go again. Let's see if we can hit it this time.
Because it's
the things in like kind of the core mechanics is what I think don't. Honestly, I would take a relook at how they're approaching the songs. Like, even if it's like, I really like the choice. I like the idea that you're making choices in the middle of songs. But part of me is like, I know it's really hard to write, you know, songs that make sense that branch whilst you're doing it, but I'm like, hey, what if you had one choice right at the beginning And then the song was just based on your big choice at the beginning, but maybe you had more options to pick from. Maybe it's instead of one of three, it's like one of five options of how are you approaching this person talking to you about this. And that's why the song branches. That's where the song goes. And it's like, that's a little, that's, you know, you could scale back a little more to make it work, to make the vision work. Because I see it and I like it. And that's why I know why people... I was talking about this with my house, which is because they're like, what are you doing on Dorkspawn? And I was like, oh, we're doing Stray Gods. And they're like, oh, I heard a lot about it when it first came out and then absolutely radio silence post. And they're like, that's normally a really bad sign. And I'm like, I agree. I know why. And I just, and you know what? Let me be so for real with you. I was coming into this episode being like, I straight up don't like this. Talking through it with you, and you know what, I'm going to say this, if you 100% loved it, I think I would be more negative, but I think because we are both complicated on it, it's making me more positive in the idea of this thing.
I get it.
Why it should be great, and I get it, and you know what, I think the idea is
the
awesome.
The idea is so great.
And you know, you got one of the best video game writers of all time to write your...
And that's why I think a lot of the writing and the choices are interesting. And that is so clear to me. It's just that we are saying it is the video game musical. It's got music in it. The music is barely audible and it's got no... emotion and or heart
it's
behind
a lot,
it.
It's a lot of technical stuff, which is
I want this to happen again, and I want it to happen with more time and care and with musical theater, you know, like writers behind it, or like working on it so much, because I think that this is cool and interesting, and this was a really, really cool project that I'm glad happened. I'm still really glad. I mean, I know we're like already eulogizing it, but like I'm really excited to try the ending and like see how it goes. But I do think that like people not talking about it post the release is indicative of the fact that nobody wants to like, you know, engage in criticism of the thing. And also nobody like loved it, or like very few people loved it. And so it's just like, I'm glad that this show exists and that we get to do this, because I think that it's interesting and fun to like get to do video game criticism. And like in a way that like where we're talking about games that we actually like enjoyed and found joy in, but in a critical way. And so that's how I feel about this, where I'm like, I was like, there are parts of it I liked, and the concept made me insanely, overwhelmingly proud. But then I was just like, we need someone to do this again.
Yeah. And you know what the thing is, I don't know if this came out episodically, Act 1, Act 2, Act 3.
No.
Did it?
No. It came out as one game. Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm like, the reason why I say this is like, if it through that, it probably improves quality wise. If it all came out at the same time, I'm not sure. But it's like, I'm excited to see if they take things from Act 1 and they're like, okay, what worked, what didn't work. And then they move over to Act 2 and they try again. And they're like, they're trying to nail down what works, what doesn't. And they move to Act 3 and they try to nail down what works and what doesn't. Because, you know, I mean, it's got a lot of possible. I only played the demo version
of the game. So I'm venturing into new territory now after this. Mm-hmm. So maybe.
So anyway, do we have a sign off?
I think we do. And I think it's. Who let the gods out?
Who?
Who?
Who? That's fucking crazy. Stop. Are we doing Act 2 next week? Is that our is that our mission?
Act 2 and 3 next week.
Both. Sick.
Yeah.
Act 2 and 3 next week. All right, all right, all right, all right.
All right.
Dunzo. Who led the...
This is a Many-Sided Podcast.